Thanks, everyone. Thankfully, I've come up to visit Queensland to get some anointing by the sound of it. Go back to Melbourne with some fresh grace. You guys doing well this morning? A couple of you doing okay? It's okay to be loud and get excited in church if you want to. Wow, thank you, worship team. My goodness, wasn't that awesome? Is that normal? Is it like this every week, Rob and Denise? It is? Do you guys know how lucky and blessed you are then? My goodness gracious. If the Lord shows up, you know it's good worship. He showed up, so that's a good sign. Oh, can we pray first? Is that okay? Yes? Yeah. I like interaction in case you haven't figured that out. If I ask you a question, I expect some kind of response from you. Lord Jesus, we honor you. We welcome you in this place. We honor your presence. We celebrate your presence. Oh, Lord, we don't want to just come to church this morning. We don't want to just go through the Christian motions. Lord, we want to encounter you. We want to meet with a living God. Lord Jesus, you say that you enthrone the praises of your people. Lord Jesus, we've lifted up praise and worship to you this morning. We pray that you would come. You would sit on us, you would come, you would rest upon us, you would tabernacle your praise, your people this morning. Oh Lord, you're so wonderful. You're so worthy of our time, our attention, our affection, our lives. We pour them out afresh to you this morning. Lord Jesus, be magnified and glorified and lifted up. Holy Spirit, we give you permission. It's a dangerous prayer. Holy Spirit, we give you permission to come into our midst this morning. Do as you please in our midst. We've come to meet with you. We don't want to just come to church and go home the same. Lord, we want to come here and be transformed and go home different. Oh, Lord Jesus, to meet with the Son of the living God should change the fabric of who we are. Come and meet with us afresh again this morning. And if you agree with me, say amen. 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 Oof. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Does Queensland only have like little bottles of water? Is that just the Queensland thing? You guys just used to the heat and the humidity from Melbourne? We're like, we need like a whole jug. We're not used to the humidity. Guys, I'm really excited to be here. It's an honor to be here. Thank you, Rob and Denise. This is an incredible community of believers. I can feel your hunger. I can feel the history that you've created in this place. This is a well of the Spirit of God. I can feel that. There's a tenacity. I'm just going to prophesy a little bit over the house, and then we're going to get into the Word of God this morning. I really do feel that this is a wellspring. I just kept hearing that on the front row, that this is a wellspring, that there is a well of the presence of God that is bubbling up in this community, in this city. I think Extreme is a part of that, but I honestly feel like it's the people of God. And he's decided that there's a hungry people that have cried out for him, and he takes it seriously. And the wellspring of God's presence is emerging and bubbling up in this hour. I believe that a wellspring attracts the thirsty. And I believe that the people are going to come to drink, and they're going to come to drink from Jesus, who is the one who sustains. He's the one who satisfies and the one who quenches the thirst that they feel. And so, Lord Jesus, we thank you for this house. We thank you for the wellspring of your presence. We thank you for what we've experienced in this house. We thank you for what you've done in this community. But Lord Jesus, we do pray for a fresh bubbling up of the presence of God. We pray, Lord Jesus, that you would break through any cap that may be over this community. We pray, Lord Jesus, for an explosion of your manifest presence that would be seen and felt and heard in this community, in this state, in this nation. We pray for an uprising of the presence of God, that a people that are hungry for the real thing would come and they would find Jesus and they would drink and they would be satisfied. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, amen. Whew, that's good. I feel like there's a hunger in your hearts, and I'm hearing this from Rob and Denise, that there's a hunger in your hearts to encounter God. Is that true? A couple of you are hungry to encounter God. That's good. I really felt like today I wanted to just teach. Thanks, mate. I wanted to teach a little bit around encounter, and I wanted to set you guys up for what's in your heart. I think sometimes when we hear the word encounter, we build a stereotype of what that means. I want an encounter with God. Who wants an encounter with God? Yes, I want an encounter with God. But if I was to ask each of you what that meant, there's probably 100 different ideas of what an encounter with God is. But what we see from the front a lot of the time is an encounter with God looks like, I don't know, falling out under the power of God, maybe shaking, rattling and rolling around on the ground under the raw power of God. That's awesome. Sign me up. I'm first in line. I want that. I've had that. I want more of those experiences. Amen. Yes and amen. Yes and amen. I've had an encounter where I shook for days under the power of God, where I saw things that I don't even want to explain to you because it's so precious and personal to me. It was the most life-changing, radical encounter I've ever experienced in my life. I lost control of my limbs under the power of God. It was just wild. It was an encounter that I'd been crying out for my whole life. You see, I was raised on a farm in the middle of nowhere in rural South Australia. I didn't have any ministry experience going to BSSM. I was a businessman, I guess, and a footballer, and just an average Australian hungry man of God that wanted more. That was it. I was desperate for a touch of God. I wanted more of the Lord, and I was crying out for that since I was, I don't know, 10, 11, 12 years old. I had an encounter when I was, I don't know, what was that, 30, mid-30s. So I was crying out for a touch for many, many, many years, and I received it. How many of you would say, if I just had one encounter with God, everything would change? Yes. Yeah, let me just help you. One encounter with God, everything changes. 100%. One encounter with God changes everything, and yet also at the same time changes nothing. One encounter with God changes everything about us, but when the shaking stops, when the power leaves, you still have the opportunity to walk away from God. You still are required the next day to get this out and build your intimate history and connection and relationship with the Lord. An encounter doesn't all of a sudden just miraculously like mature you in God 30 years. Maturity in God takes maturing in God. And maturing in God means you need to be intimately close and connected to Him. It has to be both. So I long for a touch that changes me. Yes? It changes everything about me. It fuels the rest of my life. When I've tasted and seen of the reality of God, it messes you up. You can't go back. There's no out clause. Once you've seen the reality of the majesty of God and you've experienced His touch, it ruins the rest of your life. It does. But it's not some silver bullet in God. And sometimes, maybe it's just me that's been guilty of this, where I'm like, oh, if I just had a moment like that in Him, I'd never be the same again. Yeah, I'd never be the same again. But I'm still also required to build my life in God. Layer upon layer, day upon day, choice upon choice. History still has to be built in God. And this is the tension. Well, we want to create an atmosphere of encounter. Woo, that's awesome. Guys, I've been a part of BSSM that Rob and Denise have been sharing about. Man, if you went to an average day of BSSM, you'd be like, my gosh, these guys are crazy. And we are, we're kind of crazy. I've pastored so many students through that experience. I've been through that experience myself. I did first and second year. BSSM, and then I got hired and became a pastor. It was an amazing thrill and just such an incredible opportunity to lead in that environment and to be a part of leading that school. And I would watch students that would come in just so desperate and so hungry for a touch, right? And so many of them would experience the Lord. There was numerous students, I can tell you about numerous students that seemingly just had a whole year of encounter. They're just encountering God every single day. Just like, whoa, you know, just under the power of God, the goodness of God, the glory of God. And I'm like, yes, that's awesome. And some of those students are now changing the world. And some of those students are not. Guys, when I first came to Bethel, now this is controversial, Robin Denise, I'm so sorry. I wouldn't believe this unless I had experienced it myself. 2011, when we first came to Bethel, I don't know if you've heard about this, there was literal tangible glory clouds that would appear in our midst in the middle of a meeting. I would not believe that unless I had seen it myself. I went against the wall, kind of like this, one Sunday night, and I stood like this. Guys, I don't understand how this works, but out of the wall, a wooden wall, just like this, tangible wall, I had a wave of the tangible, physical, touchable, seeable glory of God from above my head to below my feet, just like this, for an hour. I stood there and I let the tangible glory of God hit me and change my life. I turn around and there'd be a wave of glory going up through the people, going up. How does that, it doesn't make any sense. Over here, it'd be swirling around people, little kids playing, like actually you can touch it, you could feel it, enough tangible physical glory to be playing with, covering people. I stood in a glory cloud, a literal glory cloud, a cloud of the glory of God. Talk about an encounter. But I stood in the midst of the glory of God with hundreds of people. Hundreds of people, some of which are now homosexual, atheists, God haters. Some of which are turning the world upside down because that moment changed them, because they allowed it to change them. They turned aside and they recognized this is God and He has come and He has met me. But if we just think, oh, if I just got in a glory cloud, everything would change. I'm telling you, that's not true. If God just swept through this auditorium with His glory, I'd never be the same. Maybe. Depends what you do after it. Do you have enough friendship with God to even recognize and celebrate when He comes? Woo! I'm going to throw some tensions at you this morning because I want to get you ready. Because one touch does change everything, right? Jesus comes, we understand the story of the Lord. When He leaves the earth, He says, man, go and preach, go and make disciples of nations. Start in Jerusalem, Jerusalem, Samaria, uttermost ends of the earth. We know the story. But then He says, before you start in Jerusalem, wait. Tarry, cry out, press in. Don't even think about starting this mission until you are endued with power from on high. We need encounter. We need power. Jesus is okay with it. He's like, guys, don't just go and do the Christian stuff. You're going to need power to do this. You're going to need the power of God. Bill Johnson, my pastor, says we owe the world an encounter with God. I believe that's 100% true. There is a world that is hurting, broken, dying. We all know it. We all walk it out every day. We see it with our own eyes. We owe the world the reality of this thing that we read. This church that we're here with, we're gathering here today as the body of Christ. We owe the world the reality of that. Because they're looking to see, is this thing real? Is this thing real? Because if it is, there should be a demonstration of that reality. If my mum is sick and dying of cancer and this thing is real, I expect a Christian to carry that which is Jesus, which is every sick person. He comes up and interacts with, that cancer disappears because of who He is. This is the kind of encounter we owe the world, and that's true. That's true. I'll be unapologetic about that for the rest of my life. It is 100% true. We need an encounter with God because transformed people transform nations. And so we need to first and foremost in this house as the body of Christ, be the ones that are the transformed ones.
refuse to go home the same. If I'm here to meet with God, I'm here to meet with God. And I expect to go out of this place transformed.
Oh my gosh, I'm preaching to myself. I'm preaching myself happy. Do you ever do that, Rob? Just preach yourself happy. I'm encouraged. I'm encouraging myself. I understand. See, that's the tension, right? We need a touch. Unapologetically, we need a touch. We need the Lord to come and we need the Lord to meet with us. I remember being in Argentina on my first year missions trip. Man, those people are crazy in Argentina. The body of Christ there is wild. Anyway, we went out the first night, one of the first nights we were there into this city square. There's some controversy. I don't know if you know this, but there's some controversy around Bethel a lot of the time. There was some controversy around us being there, and we were kind of told, hey, from pastors in the area, you know, we're not allowed to lay hands on people. We are just to be there and, you know, minister in the churches, but we're not to lay hands on people out in public. We're like, okay, that's a weird request, but we'll do that. And so we went out into this big square and people were preaching the gospel and people were getting saved. It was awesome. This weird thing happened to me during these nights. There was a couple of nights we went out in a row. The first night that we went out, I don't know if you're like this, but I have sometimes a crutch where I'm used to ministering in a certain way, and if you take it away from me, I don't know if I had the same level of faith. I had a lot of faith that if I laid my hands on someone, the power of God was going to touch them, because I've seen it, I've experienced it, and I have faith for that. But when you're standing in front of someone and you're like, the power of God's coming on you, but I couldn't touch them, it was just this weird thing where I didn't really expect anything to happen, honestly, because I'd built history with God around the impartation, the laying on of hands. So people would come up and they had heard that we were from Bethel and they were so hungry. They knew that we weren't allowed to lay hands on them. They're like, just pray for us, just pray for us. I'm like, okay. I was like, just put your hands out like this. I feel like the Holy Spirit's going to come on you if you just ask for more. I had no faith for that when I was saying that. Zero. The Lord God's going to come upon you. I'm like, I don't know if I believe that. People would fall out. Like on concrete in a public place. There was no like nice pad playing. There wasn't like the, you know, the angels moving, ministering. It wasn't the lights dimmed like here, perfectly set for what we expect in Christian ministry. It was in a public square where we weren't supposed to pray for people. People looking in, mocking us, having questions about who we are. I had no faith at all. No catches. This was not conducive to the power of God flowing. I said, the Holy Spirit's going to land on you. If you just say, I want more, He's going to land on you. They say, yes, Lord, I want more. And they would fall out on the concrete. And then all of a sudden, someone else would go, I've never experienced the power of God before. And I saw what happened to my friend. Would you pray for me? I'm like, sure, just put your hands out like this and the Holy Spirit's going to come upon you. And it happened one after another, after another, after another. It was unbelievable. I went home just so encouraged. I went home to my hotel room that night going, oh my gosh, forget about Benny Hinn. Now it's Benny Wilson. Oh my gosh, the power of God has come upon me. I'm the anointed man of God. I just say the Holy Spirit comes and people fall out. This is incredible. And I go out the next night and I'm so full of faith. I'm so full of expectation now because of my experience. I'm like, oh my God, just line up. If you want more of God, you're going to see the Spirit of God come on your life. So people had heard about the night before and people are lining up saying, I want prayer, come and pray. I'm like, yes, the Spirit of God's going to come upon you. Just put your hands up like this. And they would do it and nothing would happen. Like nothing. Nada. Zero. I'm like, I'm so confused. Person after person after person would line up and seemingly nothing would take place. There was a few of them that said, when I asked them, hey, what did you experience? Like, I felt peace. I went away from that time of ministry. We go back and we debrief as a team, like what happened. And I'm sharing about how discouraged I felt and, you know, how disappointed I was. And My leader was asking questions about, well, what did they experience? I said, well, you know, a couple of them felt peace. And he rebuked me so quickly and so sharply, and it's changed my life. He said, do you know the price that Jesus had to pay to be the Prince of Peace? How dare you downplay an encounter with peace? It literally shaped and shaped the way that I saw things. We have an expectation of what encounter is. We're like, encounter needs to look like this. We make almost a God out of the encounter, rather than approaching the God who is the encounter and letting him encounter us however he wants to encounter us. Peace, do you remember when you didn't have peace? Do you remember that? I think sometimes as Christians, if you've been a Christian for a while, we're so used to being in peace, having hope, having access to the Lord, where it becomes so common, we forget what it was like, how hopeless it felt, how we were looking for peace in the bottom of a bottle, some of us, looking for peace on our screen, looking for peace in our money and our resources. We're looking for peace anywhere that we could find it because we didn't have it. But Jesus comes and encounters us as the person of peace. We need to make sure that we celebrate that. Oh, if we have hope, that's an encounter with God. If you experience peace that you didn't have a moment before, that's an encounter with God. We need to reframe what we see as valuable. He is valuable. Listen to me. The encounter is awesome, but that's not God. Let's not make a God out of an experience. Let's approach God himself and say, whoo, however you want to touch me, or you have the opportunity to touch me, and I'm going to celebrate however it is you manifest yourself to me. This is, I believe, the expectation versus expectancy. Expectation versus expectancy as how we approach God. If we have an expectation, sometimes it's almost like a gun that we bring to God and say, well, you better touch me like this, and if you don't, versus an expectancy that is, okay, Lord, what are you doing? How are you moving? How do I get in line with what it is that you're up to? An expectancy is, I know God is moving. I know that he's up to something. How do I get in line with what it is that he's doing? Versus an expectation, oh gosh, it needs to look a certain way. I have a good friend, Hayley Braun. I don't know if you've heard of her. She's an amazing communicator. She's kind of emerging as a voice in a movement. God came and touched her so powerfully. She had like, I don't know, what, months of encounter. Like wild, to get carried around, and the glory of God was on her, and she became a different person. I watched her. I knew her before, during, and after. I carried her around during the encounter. I literally carried her around, and she was praying for people, and people were just falling out. It was unbelievable to experience. She became a different person. But what I saw in our environment is all of a sudden encounter looked like Hayley Braun. I have an expectation that it needs to look like this. I don't know if you're getting this. I hope you are. He is encounter. Oh, I haven't even got to my notes at all yet. Praise God. Could better make it legal at some point here. I really do have a sense that encounter is going to be a big part of who you are and what you do. And it requires maturity. Because I've seen students, like I said, rolling around on the floor for a year and not be changed. I've watched, you know, students that just sit quietly, peacefully on their chair every single day in school be radically turned upside down. And I've seen students that sit on the chair resisting God with all of their strength, over-spiritualizing it and say, well, look how fleshly these students are rolling around on the floor, how in the flesh they are. Can we be real? If you want to create a true culture of freedom, I promise you there's going to be flesh in your midst. I promise you there's also going to be demonic activity in your midst. I promise you the Holy Spirit is also going to be moving mightily in your midst, and it requires discernment, and it requires grace, as leaders to create an atmosphere where people have an opportunity to experience the Lord. Randy Clark calls it the three postures, and I love this. The three postures of how we'd approach God. It's the posture of sitting back, leaning back, almost resisting God. It's the posture of falling flat on your face, almost like overdoing it, faking it in God. And then there's the posture of leaning forward with expectancy, saying, oh God, what are you doing? You know, it requires as much flesh to resist God as it does to fake it. It takes just as much flesh for us to resist what God's doing. But we oftentimes over-spiritualize that and go, wow, it's just wisdom. Oh, yeah, they'll get over it. They'll get over their passion. Yeah, extreme conference, that's awesome. They'll start out extreme, but eventually they'll just peter out and they'll mature and settle down into normal Christian life. I don't know about you, I don't want that. I want to spit that out of my mouth like Jesus said he would with anything that is lukewarm. I don't want a thing to do with that. I want to grow in my passion in Jesus every single day that I'm alive. I want to grow in my sense of connection and fire. I want the glory of God to be increasing in me and on me, not decreasing in me and on me. Amen. I've got some agreement there from the pastor. That's all I need. There's so much to say on this stuff. Wise men travel. Wise men travel. In reference to, you know, the men of the East recognizing the star, recognizing the birth of Jesus. These men of the East, they packed up everything that they had. They didn't know the Lord. They didn't have any relationship with the Lord. They didn't have the Holy Spirit at all, but they were looking. They recognized something supernatural was happening somewhere where they weren't, and they were willing to pack up everything and pursue this supernatural experience, and it ended up at the feet of Jesus. Wise men travel. Sometimes we have to recognize that God is doing something either in another person that he's not doing in me, or another location where I am not. And it's very easy, isn't it? Just to go, I've heard this 1,000 times and it makes me like, oh, you don't understand what you're saying. You're limiting yourself in God. Well, you know, God knows where I live. Oh, really? He does. He sure does. He created you, made you. God knows where I live. You know, if he wants to touch me, he'll come and find me. Woo. There are sovereign times where I've seen people just get radically touched that didn't want God. They're my favorite. I love those. But they are rare. God comes and lands upon the hungry hearts. The humility that is required to go, oh, you know what? God's not moving on my life the way that he's moving on my friends. The problem is, in our world, I'm sure it's the same here. At Bethel, I'm ministering with my best friends and I watch them on the platforms of the earth and I know all of their weaknesses. I know all of the areas that they should grow, right? None of us are perfect up here with a microphone. None of us, with or without a microphone, we're not perfect. But it takes the humility to go, you know what? Even though I know you're not perfect, God is moving on your life in a way that he's not moving on mine. Come and pray for me. Oh, that is so, so attractive to the Lord. Because it's humbling ourselves to get outside of ourselves, to not compare with one another, but to go, I'm not looking at the person, I'm looking at the God on the person. Will I have the humility to go, ugh, I see all of your faults, I see all the fact that, ugh, I know what you did like 3 years ago, but God is on you. And so I need to receive, because I'm not looking for your anointing, I'm looking for the anointed one, who is Jesus. I must humble myself and come in and receive. And God might be moving in your midst on a Sunday morning. I've seen this take place and I've experienced this in my own life where I go forward and the Lord's on the pastor.
The Lord's on the man or the woman with the microphone, and we receive prayer and we get touched, and that's awesome. But do you know how many times I've had the most radical encounters by myself when no one's looking? Or when in a church service, the Lord is landing on a six-year-old girl. Has no history, no experience. Or the drug addict that just got saved last week. My mind can stop me from God. I can build a case why this shouldn't happen, or I can humble myself and go, where's God? He's there. There he is. He's on that person. So I humble myself and I come and I receive. Oh, God's moving over there. I don't understand it, but I recognize he's moving. And so here I am, Lord, come and encounter me and touch my life. Yes, he moves through anointed men and women of God, but he's trying to train us in the encounter realm. Will we value him? Will we recognize and celebrate him more than an experience? Will I go, God is on that person, my friend who I know all of their weaknesses. I am going to receive from God. And what that does in a community is it starts to create a realm of celebration. It starts to lift the water level of what God can do. Because if God can only move through me right now on the microphone, wow, that's really, really limiting for the Lord. Obviously, he's capable of doing that and he can touch all of you through me. That's awesome. I want to lay hands and believe that the Lord can touch people. We might even do that this morning. But imagine if every single one of us took the word of God seriously about what he says is available for each one of us. How much of the kingdom could get released in this place if we learn how to celebrate one another? If we came to church, listen to me, I love you all. But if you came to church not just to receive, but you recognized the God of heaven and earth is on the inside of you. And he's brought you here not just to receive a word, but he's brought you here in community to give away this God to the person next to you. Woo, I'm an introvert. I get it. If there's introverts in the house, we don't want to talk to the person next to us, do we? Do we? Let's be honest. Richie Gordon, a friend of mine, he ministers and he just says this, I don't know, 30 times in a message. Turn to the person next to you and say, I'm like, oh my God. Turn to the person next to you and say, the Lord is moving. I don't want to turn to the person next to me and say anything. Introverts, give me a wave. Big wave. Oh, I'm surprised you're even in the building. I thought you'd be right at the back. Extroverts are like, yeah, turn to the person next to me. Woo, listen to my voice. We have to approach this gathering together that we are the body of Christ. The answer isn't just in one part of the body. We all need to be connected to one another. And I'm so sorry, introverts, we're not allowed to hide. Our personality is not greater than the Word of God. I have to preach and I'm an introvert. I don't like being up here. I'd rather just be by myself, hiding away somewhere with God as a monk. But the Lord says, Ben, I've called you. I'm serious. Even this morning as we're singing, like, you're worthy. Are you worthy? You're worthy of this. I was weeping because I'm like, Lord, I'll give it to you. I'll give you my life. I have given you my life. We have given him our lives. We've given up our rights. We have surrendered our rights to the Lord. I'm so sorry, I don't know if you know that. Your life is no longer your own. You've been co-crucified with Christ. You've given this away to him. So whatever it is he asks you to do according to his word, you've already given your legal agreement to. So you better come to church recognizing that you have something to give away. And then when you leave this place, an encounter isn't supposed to stay here. An encounter with God is supposed to go out. I don't know what context you find yourself. Maybe you're on the mines. Maybe you're a school teacher. Maybe you're a stay-at-home mom. It doesn't matter where you are or what you're doing. A pastor cannot reach Mackay. You can go places that your pastors cannot. They are in their lane doing what they're called and graced and gifted to do, and that's to equip and empower you. You to go out. You to go out. And so maybe you are the answer to your school. Maybe you are the answer to your group of friends, your footy club. I don't know what context you find yourself in, but maybe the Lord has strategically put you there for a reason. Woo, but what it's going to require is courage to take an encounter that you've had with the Lord, maybe in a sanctuary like this, and to take that encounter out. Transform people. Transform cities. Transform people, transform cities. Encountered people should become an encounter for the world around them. This is okay. I don't know. I just want us to become the church of Jesus Christ. Surrendered, yielded vessels that have said to the Lord, my life is no longer my own. Okay, God, what are we doing today? What are we doing today? I'm telling you, it's terrifying when you live that kind of a life. How many of you have done, maybe not a show of hands because you might not want to, but how many of you, I'll put my hand up, have said no to doing something uncomfortable that God has asked you to do in the last like week, month, I don't know, year, life, day? Right? You're not special. We're all in this together. But the fear of man has to die. The fear of man has to die. Now, Peter is the perfect example of what's possible in the realm of the encounter. Peter was so petrified of people's opinion that he was willing to deny his Lord and Savior to a slave girl who he didn't even know. He was petrified of her opinion of him. Anyone relate to Peter? I love Peter. Praise God for Peter in the scripture. But Peter also was the first person to stand up and boldly proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ, and thousands of people came into the kingdom. What happened? What happened to Peter? What was the thing that changed on the inside of him? He got filled and baptized with the person of the Holy Spirit. And all of a sudden, he had a boldness and a courage come on him. But I'm just going to say this. I promise you it was still a choice for him. I bet you he still had those lingering thoughts of fear in the back of his mind. I promise you he still probably didn't want to stand up in front of everyone and preach boldly and proclaim Jesus boldly because he saw what happened to his Savior. He got touched with power and there was something that got released in that moment, but he then needed to agree with it to see it manifest itself. Oh man, I'm preaching to you guys this morning. He might come and touch you. The Holy Spirit might come and encounter you. Oh my gosh, but you're then still going to have to make a decision. Will I take it out and allow this Holy Spirit to flow through me? The Spirit of God turned him into a different person. How many of you want that? How many of you need that? If you're a woman, that's okay. Don't get changed into another man. I know that's, sorry. I couldn't resist that. I was looking at some of your women and you're like, do I really want that? I'm not sure. Is it okay to joke in the house of God? Okay. I want us just to come to the front. If you're hungry for more of God, either stand to your feet or come to the front. I don't know if I've got a band or keys player or someone that can come and help me. Here's the tension. I feel like encounters are available in this house, and I believe that even from this weekend and this extreme conference, I believe there's going to be an upgrade in the realm of encounter here in this house. I believe there's going to be experiences in the Lord where some of you are going to have what I would call like a Hayley Braun or a
a Peter type experience where you're so touched, so radically encountered, you're going to need to get carried around for weeks. I love that. I believe the Lord's going to start to do things like that, where someone stuck in drug addiction and stuck in all kinds of patterns of sin are going to get so radically touched in a moment that they're never the same again. I really do believe that. But I also believe that God is going to release a grace for us for longevity. A grace for longevity. To burn, not burn out, but to burn for the Lord all the days of your life. And this is the tension of the two. God, I'm hungry for a touch. I'm desperate for more. I need it. I have to have it. But Lord Jesus, I understand. If you're offering peace, I position myself and I'm thankful and I'm grateful and I celebrate whatever it is that you're giving me. If you are giving me power and I don't want it, Lord, I refuse to resist it. If you come in a package that I don't like, maybe it's unexplainable joy and that offends my mind, Lord, I make a decision to give you permission to do whatever it is that you want to do in and through me. So Holy Spirit, I thank you for this house. I thank you, Father, for what you've done here. And I thank you for what you're about to do. I thank you for this next season, where Holy Spirit, that you begin to move even more mightily in their midst, that there would become a river, a wellspring like we've talked about, Lord, in this place, where people would come and they would experience the wellspring of life. I pray, Lord, even right now, this morning, Holy Spirit, that you begin to mark individuals. Father, I thank you for their hunger, that they'd recognize, Lord, I want more of you. I'm here to receive more of you. I'm positioning myself and saying, Lord God, I don't want to go home the same way I came in. Lord Jesus, would you touch me? Would you mark my life? Holy Spirit, pick me, choose me. I'm here. I'm willing to do whatever it is that you ask me to do. Lord God, I'm desperate for a touch. Come and mark me. Holy Spirit, I pray that you begin to move and begin to touch individuals even right now. Father, I'm praying even right now for those that want to be hungry, that aren't hungry. I pray for a gift of hunger to come upon lives. I pray, Lord, that you would destroy apathy in the name of Jesus, that you would come in as a strong man, Father, and you would destroy, Father, that thing that raises itself up against the knowledge of God in this region. I pray for that. I pray, Lord God, that wealth wouldn't satisfy. I pray that the things of this earth would not satisfy. Father, that you would come in with a holy hunger. Oh, a hunger, Father, that says, no, Lord, I need much more than this. I need much more than this. If that's you, just begin to ask, say, God, come and touch me. Come and mark my life. Come and move on my life. I'm going to go and I'm going to lay hands on some of you, pastors and leaders, if you want to help too. But I believe that God is going to mark individuals. It's not just going to be because a man or woman of God lays hands on you. I believe God's going to lay hands on you this morning. So Holy Spirit, we give you permission.